Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is your official. Let's start that again.
No, you're always starting again. Be real, be honest. Share with the audience that sometimes you say official instead of official.
This is your official Leguizamarama spoiler warning. If you have not seen episode 9 of season 1 of The Power, hop to it. It is out now on Prime and we are about to chat about it mildly. But we probably will spoil a bunch of stuff, but we'll also spoil some of your favorite films, a whole bunch of other TV series you probably want to watch, a whole bunch of shit. We spoil everything. We don't consider what we say when we do this podcast. So spoiler warning for life, but mostly for The Power. Yeah, enjoy the episode. Bye-bye.
Peace. I hate the word.
Little cornstarch on my huevos, man. Luigi Mario.
Hello and welcome to Mish and Zach's Leguizamarama, a podcast where each week Mish and Zach watch John Leguizamo things. We kind of signed on to it as a 3-year project, and then he has in the last 2 months done, like, I don't know. I genuinely don't know how he fits it all in.
I don't understand it.
Like,
either.
I genuinely don't know. How he fits all of his projects into a year.
I've got no clue. It's crazy. He's, honestly, this year already, it's May, although when this episode gets released, I believe it'll be June. He's already done what will take us about 20 episodes of stuff.
It's insane. Like, I genuinely go, I think he has a really good personal assistant.
You would think.
And I think his management are very, very good. His personal assistant and his management and his agency are all working together to, like, someone will do an avails check or an availability check from The Power and they will say, he can do Monday through Wednesday these weeks, but on Thursday, Friday, he's doing this other fucking thing.
Like, what does he do with his time off?
I don't think he has time off.
Do you not think, do you think he's a 7-day-a-weeker?
Oh, maybe as weekends, but I think he is. I genuinely think he like fills it in. I think once a thing is locked in, once the shooting schedule is locked in, he then goes, "Oh, looks like they don't need me this week.
Yeah,
get me a job this week."
He's like genuinely one of the he's got to be one of the hardest working people in Hollywood.
Must be.
He'd have to be. I don't know of anyone else that works as hard as him. But I'm not studying everybody else's filmography, but like. It's just constant.
When does he learn his lines?
That's such a good point.
When does he, like, do that?
I don't know.
But maybe when he went through his, like, 2000s doing, like, jobbing actor phase.
Yeah.
He got good at that. He got good at just jumping from thing to thing to thing. And now that he kind of could say no to things, if he wanted to, he actually has the ability to jump around.
If for whatever reason we were ever given the opportunity to chat with him, I think I'd be too scared. And secondly, I don't think that would ever happen. But if that were to ever happen, one of my main questions to him would be, how do you find the time to do all of this stuff?
What's your scheduling like?
Yeah, what's your scheduling and who organises it for you? And
how does that work?
Yeah.
I'm one of the hosts of the show, Zachary Rowain. You might know me from If I Had a Power.
Mm.
If I could have one superpower, it would be to fly.
Okay.
And I'll elaborate on that after I get Mish's. I'm joined, as always, by my best friend, Mish Wittrup, who you might know from...
If I Had a Power.
Which is the thing you might know her from.
Yeah, this is might be something that you know me from. It would be to be able to change into different things. What's it called?
Morphing.
Morphing.
Like an anamorph.
Like an anamorph.
Or like the sexy blue lady from X-Men.
Can she morph?
She morphs into people. She can morph into any person.
But I would want all of it. So people, objects, things.
Oh, okay.
Because to me, or invisibility, which to me is almost the same thing.
Almost.
Almost. But like when I say objects, it's like it would be cool if I could morph into a post-it note or something.
So that's my question. You can morph into inanimate objects, animals, people. Is there like a mass equivalence thing? Do you have to, but you, like, how do you, is that like a post-it note that weighs the amount as a person? Can the post-it note see?
Yes. Yes, it's sentient. Everything I can morph into, it's still me. I'm
can
just
you still
that
talk?
Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
You can morph into anything.
Anything. I feel like I'm still me when I morph, but you're looking at a post-it. But it's just me sitting here. But you're looking at a post-it.
Would you then become a post-it with legs that could walk?
No, but I could morph into something with legs.
Right. But you can talk.
I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. I just need to cut this conversation really quick.
Yeah.
A fiber from my jumper has gone into my eye.
Mm.
I am struggling so hard. Something is fucking... it hurts so much.
Well, that is worth... I thought you were going to say a fiber from your jumper just like flew off.
No, it's like that's not it's enough. Like flown into my eye.
Is your eye all right?
Nah.
Do you want to just address that?
No, I'm going to power through.
Are you sure?
Just I want people to know that that's
you have
the energy.
This isn't live.
No,
you
this
can,
is the energy
can,
I'm
like,
going into.
You can blink it out.
Nah. There was a. This is the energy I'm entering this podcast with.
Oh, no.
There was a. I did my show for Melbourne International Comedy Festival,
and it was hilarious. By the way,
thanks, babe.
It was. I don't know why I said it like that.
Yeah, a bit rough.
It was really good.
One night, I stepped on stage to start my show, and my underwear did that Swiss roll thing where it rolls down, and I don't know if it happens in men very often, but for women with hips, it often happens. If your underwear just sits above your hip, it rolls.
And wait, what rolls?
Your underwear.
The so top of your underwear?
Rolls down until you've got like a roll of underwear underneath your ass.
The top of your underwear rolls down mm-hmm. all around?
Yeah. Kind of like you know those slap bands on your arms and you slap and they roll? It's like that, but they roll down. And I did my entire show with a log of underwear.
Oh, that's terrible.
Just sitting underneath my ass. And that was the energy I took into that particular show. So I'm taking the energy of fiber in my eye socket.
I don't think my underwear does that. My underwear does do things, but I think that broadly
what does your underwear
speaking,
do?
No, because I think, you know, because boy, like I wear like the shorts. Not boxer shorts, not silk boxer shorts.
Yeah.
But, like, I wear, like, tight shorts, like Bond style. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And they're really quite
they're
structurally
the hot boy
sound.
Undies.
They're a structural. Yeah, you got to be a hot boy to
that was
work.
When I was dating, it was always very interesting to see the guys you date, the underwear they wear.
Yeah, right.
And how much it varies, man.
Really?
Oh, my God, yes.
I just assume everyone wears underwear like that because it's structurally so sound.
You would think, but some people find it very uncomfortable.
Oh.
I came across a silk boxer in my dating life. A lot of briefs. A lot of people liked the longer shorts, so long johns that come down like to mid-thigh.
Okay.
They were very popular.
See, I have a pair of them and I don't love them. I really like support.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying?
Around your balls.
Yeah, I like something that kind of, like I almost
like
my
hand.
Underwear to do a similar thing that to what a bra does.
Yeah, holds them
you
up.
You know, gets them like supports them. And I think that anything loose and shorts, like it's almost pointless wearing underwear to a degree.
Mm.
I understand like briefs. I get briefs. It's not for me, but I get them.
Yeah.
I understand
the silk boxer shorts one is just crazy. How do you put them in pants?
Yeah, they're like a teenage thing.
Mm.
Yeah, because and they sweat. They don't breathe.
Yeah, the guy who was wearing silk boxers, he wore heavy metal t-shirts.
Mm.
He was in his late 20s.
Ooh.
Yeah.
No judgment.
No
but,
judgment.
But
and we had our first kiss outside of a laundromat when I was doing my laundry at a laundromat because I didn't have laundry facilities where I lived at the time.
Yeah, right.
And he called me. He's like, "What are you doing?" And I'm like, "I'm just at the laundromat." And he's like, "I'm in the area." And he came past.
He wore silk boxers.
Not that day. I don't know. Maybe I'm assuming so. But the like a few nights later, I found out he wore silk boxers. And it's none of your business how I found that out.
Okay. No, I get briefs. I get, but I Yeah, that's interesting. But no, I don't understand the rolling down. If I had a power, it would be flying. But, Mish, it wouldn't just be like any kind of flying. It would be Neo flying. I'd want to be able to, like, jump off walls and stuff, you know?
You'd like, your power would be parkour.
No, not parkour. Like, have you seen, I just think sometimes people when they hear flying, they think just like up and flying. But have you seen Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon?
Yes.
Bit of wire foo in the mix.
Oh, yep, okay.
I'd love to be able to like...
Fancy flying.
Yeah, like I'd love to be able to get it to flying if I have to, but I really like the idea. I would love to be able to like jump on, like to jump, to be able to jump, like have less gravity. That would be cool.
I think invisibility would be amazing.
Yeah, I think invisibility would be more...
Just to be able to disappear every once in a while would be so nice.
From a practical point of view, I think that's a better power. I'm just talking from my heart. Like from every fun. Day I just want to be able to like jump over things and fly.
Well, I think that often, like when I watch gymnasts in the Olympics and stuff, it's like how the fuck do you do that with your body? Imagine being able to just do that walking down the street. Oh, hey, by the way, triple axel double flip.
But then like imagine being on the moon.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being on the moon and being able to just, like, jump. Imagine being able to jump and you go up, like, meters and meters. How cool would that be? And not
Have you ever been to one of those trampoline parks?
No, I've not.
It sounds like you'd enjoy it.
But it's not about trampoline. I'm talking, like, you jump and you just, like, go and you just weigh nothing and you fly. Like gymnasts, they got to be really strong and little. You know, I want to jump like an astronaut.
Yeah, I understand. On the moon. Yep, I understand.
Or like Neo. Or like Neo's too much effort. I want to jump like they do in the Hong Kong movies.
Yeah, okay.
Wire foo.
That's cool.
You got to elaborate on your transforming power, Mish, because I don't think it's fair. I think there needs to be some restrictions on it.
No, you just asked me what my power would be. I'm not going to restrict my dreams.
Okay, I'm going to change what I just said. Scratch that from the record. Can we scratch that from the record?
No.
But just the jury doesn't have to hear that.
No, they heard it.
Okay, they heard it. It's on the record. I would love to just come back at you with a new position.
Yeah.
All right? Okay, I accept that as your power. I've got a new question.
Okay.
If your power was you could transform into anything, but, like, that's not super interesting because what would some of the restrictions on that be?
I wouldn't have any.
Oh. But I think...
I guess if I had to restrict it, to be able to transform into people or animals would be what I would do.
Yeah.
Yeah. So okay, sentient things, things that are sentient.
Here's what I'm going to throw out, right? I want you to keep the inanimate objects. I think that's interesting. But I just want you to think like you're a writer and you're writing this power onto a character. And it's not interesting if it's like too, you know how like sometimes with powers they can be a little too good and it means that people can get out of every problem.
Yes.
What are some of the restrictions you would put on that power to make it interesting?
That whenever I morphed back into myself, I'd be naked.
Yeah. Do you know what I think?
And I'd lose the clothing that I was wearing. So if I was wearing a really nice dress when I morphed, I'd no longer own that dress. It would disappear.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But then when I came back, I'm naked. So I'm making money.
Do you know what restrictions I would put on you?
What?
It has to have the same amount of, like, mass. It has to be the same kind of, like...
So, mountains and boulders. So, it has to be a fat thing.
Mish.
Is that what you're saying?
I didn't say that.
If you big fatty, wants to morph, it's got to be into other fat things.
No, that's not what I said. What I said was, like, you can't morph into a paperclip.
Why?
Because it's too small.
So, it has to be things that are my size and weight.
Ish. Thereabouts. So, like, you could morph into a chair, but you couldn't morph into a...
Paperclip.
You could morph into...
Could I morph into an aeroplane?
A dog, but you couldn't morph into an aeroplane. You could maybe morph into
a drone.
No, I don't
like those. No, then I change my... I want to be invisible then.
But I think that's interesting.
No, it's not as interesting. One of the reasons I'd like it is because it's kind of similar. Like if I could morph into a paperclip, no one's going to notice a paperclip. It's like disappearing for a little bit.
Okay.
But you're still there.
You're still there.
Yeah.
What if when you morph into a paperclip, it still has the mass of a person? So someone might catch you because they try to pick it up and yeah. they go, oh, this is as heavy as a person. That's interesting.
Yeah.
What about that?
I'd accept.
Good.
I'd accept.
Mish,
yeah,
last week we talked a little bit about network television.
We did, didn't we?
And I was wondering, we should talk about The Power. It's the final episode.
It is the final episode.
But before we do, I wanted to talk to you about I just want to talk about network television a bit. Because I'm as we record this, when this goes out, I'll be finished. But as we record this, I am 4 episodes away from finishing Star Trek The Next Generation.
Oh, that's so exciting.
Yeah, it really is.
For you and me, because then I don't have to hear about it anymore.
No, Mish, next I'm watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine.
Don't you want a break?
Maybe.
Yes, you do.
But Star Trek Deep Space Nine is set on a space station that no one talked about until season 6 of Star Trek Next Generation. Then suddenly everything's happening at Deep Space Nine.
Please don't. Like, for my sake, have a break, a small break.
Maybe.
Please. Do you know what you should watch?
What?
Jury Duty.
Ah. Oh,
have you watched
it's
it?
Great. No, it's
I
very,
thought
yeah.
I discovered it. Turns out it's like the biggest show of the year or
yeah,
some shit.
Yeah, it's a lot big on TikTok.
I messaged Lena about it. Mm. And Lena Moon, friend of the pod, fantastic
friend
comedian.
Friend of the pod. I'm so sorry, but I need to acknowledge this. I moved my microphone away to have a swallow of coffee. And then you mentioned Lena Moon, and then I pulled the microphone in just in time to get me swallowing the coffee.
Yeah, I saw you do that.
So I just want to apologize to the listener that they had to listen to that.
They don't mind. I think it's more so disturbing that you're drinking a coffee at like fucking 6 o'clock.
Do you know why? Because I was like, I need that little boost of energy for the podcast, but it's not going to hit until...
No, exactly.
Yeah, I didn't think it through.
That's fine. Anyway, I messaged Lena Moon and was like, you have to watch this show because Jury Duty... is the kind of show that Lena Moon should do.
Yeah.
It's so Lena. It's very Lena. Anyway, and she wrote back. She was like, yeah, man, I watched it weeks ago. In fact, I mentioned it in the group chat and everyone just kind of let it go. And I was like, oh, so everyone's watched it already, but I'm halfway through it. My partner and I watched like 4 or 5 episodes.
What's it on in Australia?
Prime.
Prime, great.
And it's so fucking good.
It looks great.
It's so funny. It is so funny. For those of you out there who don't know about Jury Duty, which you probably do by now, because by the time this episode comes out, it's like well and truly been out for a very long time. Mm. It's about like it's a documentary, right, on a jury and their process of, you know, being elected to be a part of the jury and then their whole time during the proceedings and all of that. But every single person involved, every single person is an actor. Except for one guy.
Oh, it's so funny.
And it's so fucking funny. The actors that they found, I've looked them all up, because they couldn't cast anyone famous.
Yeah, they couldn't cast famous people.
Because then, like, the guy who's not the actor would have been like, I've seen you somewhere. So they're all, like, if you look them up, they've all done a good handful of bit parts in shows.
Wow.
They all had other jobs. Like, they were still all doing other jobs. Some of them are like older actors that have just been doing like waitress and NCIS for like 30
And then
30
this is
years,
their chance.
And this is their chance. It's incredible. But they are all so good.
That's amazing.
At acting like they're not acting, which is really hard to do.
Yeah.
Like it really is. To act like you're not acting is really difficult.
Yeah.
And they kept it up for the whole day around this guy.
Because
this one guy who's not an actor is in a room with them. For the whole day and then is staying at a hotel with them all the entire time and they all have to stay in character while also not looking like they're in character. And James Marsden's in it playing himself.
Yeah.
Brilliant. It's so funny. And he did an interview where he said that, like, they had to make it realistic for this guy. So often they're all just sitting around for about 6 hours not doing anything.
Like nothing funny.
Nothing funny happening. Because it's like if it was just gag after gag after gag, this guy would have been like, hold on a
you
second.
You have to space the gags out.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And
that's
James
amazing.
Martin's like, there's a scene where they flash over and he's having a nap. And he's like, I was legitimately having a nap. Because like I was tired. It had been a long day.
That's so
like,
funny.
Yeah, it is so well done. And all the actors in it are so good.
That's so like, funny.
Anyway, I highly recommend. If you haven't watched it, it is one of the funniest things I have seen. And I've only watched 5 episodes. I don't know if it gets shit. But it is probably the funniest. Okay. The funniest thing I'd seen up until this point. It's the funniest thing I've seen since Only Murders in the Building.
Okay, cool.
And Only Murders in the Building was the funniest thing I saw in 2021 or 2020. 2021.
Yeah, great.
And this is now
like
trumped it.
When you say funniest thing you've seen, like funniest.
In a while, in a few years.
Like, and funniest big show.
Yes, yes.
Because I feel like you're friends with funny people. Maybe surely you've had like some funny conversations.
Oh, of course. I mean, a memorable funny show. Like when I saw Only Murders in the Building, I was like, I have not seen something this funny in a long time on television.
Yeah, yeah, I get what you're saying.
And then
it's just funny. It's interesting that you would say that, Mitch, because I've released the television show.
I
only thought of it as I was talking.
I have to say that.
Again, no, please don't.
Don't say?
Well, you're going to say nice things?
Yeah.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
No. No. And I will actually say, because this is just a chat I haven't had with you yet.
Oh.
It's okay. Listen, I will say I was in this, but, and I'm assuming when this episode comes out also, there might still be some episodes left maybe it's done.
No, it's all out. Yeah. But I mean, it's been out since the start.
No, I'm talking about Guessing Game.
Oh, Guessing Game.
Yeah.
That's an internet. Internet's not real television.
Yeah, well, on the internet currently, there is a Grouse House show going called The Most Upsetting Guessing Game in the World.
Yeah.
And I'm in it, which is weird to say that, like, it's so funny. But I do think, however, that the concept of that show is fucking funny.
Yeah.
Like, really fucking funny.
Oh, thank you.
And I can't watch my episode without having genuine trauma response. Yeah. But it's very, very funny. People should check that out too. But definitely check out Jury Duty. It's really good.
So the web series we shot
is
close to Jury Duty.
Yes.
Great. Any thoughts on the television show we made?
It's very good.
I'm fucking with you. What was I going to say? Mish, I wanted to talk to you because you talked about how much you love Prison Break. And I thought about it, and the thing I want to ask you, and then we'll talk about the power.
Yes.
But the thing I wanted to ask you, right, whenever people talk about good network TV, usually they say, like, they compare it to, like, the HBOs and the Netflixes,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But they kind of go, oh, it's as good as, or it's close to, or whatever. And I was thinking about it. It was like, and maybe we've talked about this before. I wanted to know from you, what are things that you like that are specific to network TV? That are specific to, I've got some answers, but I just was thinking about it, and something that I'm really enjoying, there's a few things about Star Trek that I'm enjoying that are specific to network TV. So I'll give you an example.
Yep.
I love the lucky dip of it.
Yeah.
Right? I love that you can watch an episode of a show when it's got 24 seasons, 24 episodes, 7 seasons. I love that you can watch an episode and you be halfway through it and you go, this is one of the worst episodes of this show.
Mm-hmm.
This is truly one of the worst episodes.
Yep.
And then the next episode is one of the best things they've ever done because they're unrelated.
Yes.
There's like this lucky dip, like.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I kind of have come to love that because it's like, what? What? You know, whereas with network TV, it all kind of feeds into. Well, I mean, with like the prestige dramas, it all kind of feeds into each other. And, you know, a wonky episode might be building to a good episode. But I love with, you never know with, and I love that about network TV.
Yeah.
There's a thing I love.
But then the flip side of that is one of the things I love about network TV is how predictable it can be.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I always, when anyone mentions network TV, I always think of Grey's Anatomy, right? It's the first one I go to. Because, and I've mentioned this in the pod before, I have periods in my life every 2 years, maybe every 18 months, every 2 years, where I spend a week just watching Grey's Anatomy.
Yeah.
Like, I just binge watch it on my days off if I've got like a week between work or something like that. And I just sit in my own filth for a bit and I eat sandwiches and I watch Grey's Anatomy. And I love it because I know exactly what I'm going to get. Even if I don't know what's going to happen to each character or who the episode's going to be based on or how realistic it's actually going to be, I love that I know exactly what I'm going to get from Grey's Anatomy. Right?
You know all the characters. When a network show, the characters are well-realized, they don't change all that much. And when they do change or when something big does happen, you really feel the impact of it.
Mm.
But also, it's all good if you don't like it because it's not really going to be a thing in the next episode.
Yeah.
I do love that. Like, with Star Trek, there was like they're trying on two people as like having a bit of something. And I'm like, nah. Just two characters that I'm like, nah. No. For those listening, Worf and Troy, come on. What's with that?
Worf and Troy?
Yeah, Worf and Troy. I don't need to elaborate.
It sounds like a menswear brand. I'm just going to go down. I'm going to get a new pair of pants down at Worf and Troy.
And maybe they'll earn it towards the end. Like, they've got five more episodes. I can't remember what happened in the movies, maybe, but I don't think they will.
Well, I was like, did you ever watch Friends?
Yeah.
Remember when Rachel and Joey started kissing?
Yeah.
What the fuck was that?
That's such a network TV thing of let's try this on.
Yeah, it's absolutely not.
And even if the characters go, oh, nah, it's like, but.
See, the thing with Prison Break that I really liked was it was just the first season.
Yeah.
It was incredibly well thought out.
Yeah.
Everything tied back. Mm. Everything got, like in the first season, everything made sense, everything connected to everything else. Whoever wrote or was in the writer's room for Prison Break season one, they had a concept and they knew what they wanted. And every episode, multiple things happened and multiple things got tied up.
Mm.
Does that make sense?
Totally.
So like with The Power, nice little segue, one of the issues I have with the show, and it's not with that, the show itself is beautiful, well shot, whatever, we'll get into that in a second. We're not talking about The Power right now.
Do you want to just talk about The Power and then this can be your first point?
Yes, but we've got to play an ad. But what's coming on after the ad, Zach?
Well, Mish, isn't that great? We talked last week about having cliffhangers.
Yeah.
We're going to have an ad, then we're going to talk about The Power and you can find out whatever the fuck Mish was about to say.
About Prison Break. And you know it's going to be probably. In fact, I guarantee the most profound thing you've ever heard me say. Here's an ad.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Okay, we're back from the ad. I know you're holding your breath for my Prison Break fact. I don't even remember what I was going to say. I genuinely have no idea what I was going to say.
You do. It was going to be about planning it out.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Your issue with The Power.
Oh, yeah, cool.
Okay, yeah.
So let's have a chat about The Power. Should we? Oh, fuck, I lost my note.
Are you kidding me?
No, I'm not.
What a drama.
What do I do?
You can't find it at all?
Not right now. Hold on.
That's okay. If you can't find it, we can improv it.
No, I found it. Yeah. Absolutely not. Okay, let's do it.
Yeah, okay.
That improving the blurb for this final episode would be my worst nightmare.
You could do it.
Also, this blurb's not very good, but I'll try my best. All right. Episode 9 is the final episode of season 1 of a series that features John Leguizamo called The Power. That nun died, which has caused a divide amongst the girls. We never talked about the nun in the last episode.
No, we didn't.
A nun died.
A nun died.
That nun died, which has caused a divide amongst the girls who are staying with them. Those who see Ali as a godlike leader of the group protect her from the police who are coming to find her. The girls transfer their powers to the nuns, which is filmed and posted online for the world to see. Not Angela Bassett's voice continues to encourage Ali and her leadership. Roxy finds Derek, her mum's boyfriend, and discovers that he was a cop. This makes her realise that her dad, Bernie, did in fact organise the killing of her mother. Roxy then sets out to find Ali to join in their mission of empowerment, but not before giving the power to her stepmom, which scares the shit out of Bernie. That's right, Bernie, her dad, organised the killing of her mother. which is something Roxy could have discovered in episode two, but then they stretched it out to only just be... That really annoyed me, the conclusion that he was the one who did it really bothered me. Anyway, meanwhile, Urban Docs encourages Maddie to spy on his family, being Toni Collette and John Leguizamo, and give Urban Docs information so that they can bring her down. But Toni does a pretty damn good job of that herself when she is provoked during a debate and uses her electric eel powers to shock her opponent on national television. When I say I nearly fucking shat myself, I really full-on nearly shat myself. Tatiana releases Tunde from prison in return for info about her sister Zoya, but she then gives that information to the Romanian military. We think it might be Romanian military. The military. But Zoya and her band of women kill them in mass in a river. It's a really full-on visual. So much happened. So much is unanswered. I'm confused but satisfied but also hungry for more yum yum. John plays Rob, the dad, but he's conflicted and sad and frustrated, making me also conflicted, sad and frustrated because that's the kind of power he has over me.
Good. Good blurb.
Thanks. The thing I don't like about the power that I do like about Prison Break is that in Prison Break, like I mentioned before, every single episode, so much happens, so many little mysteries and twists and turns, but within the same episode, so many things from previous episodes are tied up or fixed up or... enhanced in some way or completed. There's like a lot of starts and a lot of finishes in each episode, and I really like that. The thing I struggled with the power towards the end...
Because this is now the final episode.
This was the final episode of season one. The thing I struggled with this series, and I really liked it. I really did like the series. But I felt like there was a lot of going up and a lot of like, oh, like, what does that mean? What does that mean? And it never really gave us a conclusion. Now,
can I paraphrase what you're saying? Mm-hmm. You wish it had been a little more Prison Break and a little less Lost.
Sure. Yes. Yes. It felt like edging, but I never came. That's a dirty version.
I thought you said you didn't like it.
Well, no, but see, that's the thing with edging. It's like you've got, there's a conclusion.
It's all fun.
No, but then
until,
like,
unless you don't come.
For me, yeah.
It's all fun. And
if you don't come, then you just, you're completely dissatisfied. I'm not dissatisfied by this show. Yeah. I love the person who's edging me, right? So in this sense, there's a satisfaction there because of the experience that I'm having. With the other person. But if the person edging me doesn't actually make me come, then yeah, there's a part of me that feels dissatisfied, and I'll be completely honest with you, there are parts of this show in which I feel dissatisfied.
It's, I mean, well, who knows if there'll be a season two?
Well, there has to be.
Well, they want there to be. Clearly, yes. They're setting up for a season two.
But they haven't announced a season
two. They have not announced a season two.
And... it's a ballsy thing to do because if I don't get answers, I'm a killer bitch. No, I don't. I'm not going to kill a bitch. But like,
we learnt nothing from this show.
I'm sorry. I'm about to go on a mini rant.
Oh, go for it.
I've mentioned it last week. I really enjoyed watching this show, but I was ready to move on to something else. And I still feel the same way. I even if there was a season two released and we could watch it right now, I'd be asking you to take a break because there were some things in this episode that I loved that were like yum, yum, really, really good stuff. Legitimately, when Toni Collette unleashed her electric eel powers on that conservative cunt.
Yeah.
I like my little insides went, whoa, whoa. And I covered my mouth. Like I was sitting by myself. Yeah, wow. I was like, geez, I did not see that coming.
Do you want to know something crazy?
Yeah.
Oh, no, finish your rant. And then
No. I'm just going to say like there were things I really loved, but there were parts of this episode and the last two, three episodes that kind of just kind of scratched a little bit at my annoyance.
You wish it had come to something.
Yes.
I didn't vibe with her zapping the guy.
Really?
Yeah, it just was like, I was just like, oh, but where is this going to go now?
That's, well, yeah.
But not in a way of like, oh, where is this going to go now? In a way that's like, all the mystery of her character, all the complexity of her wanting, I don't know, it just felt, there are moments like that that I love, but it just didn't vibe with me. I kind of, you know, I don't know.
Okay.
It fell into the similar thing as what you're saying, that with of broadly just like I really wanted this to come to some conclusions.
Yes. Yeah, I really, there were so many awesome things about this show at the start of it, where it was giving us all these different stories and all these different complex stories. And it's like they're not all necessarily connected, but are they all going to become connected? And this incredible growth of this power. And I was so into it. But to end a season, I feel, with the last three episodes where a lot happened, but also not much. Do you know what I mean?
Or even like, it's hard to describe, like it, every story still, even though certain stories have intermixed.
Yeah. I think that the edging, like as much as it's like a bit dirty, a bit cheeky, a bit, how you doing? I think edging is a really, really good comparison. It felt like if you're going to edge, finish the job. Eventually you have to. And it's like, I feel like this was a really long time to not come to a climax.
I do wonder if, where it would go if they got more seasons. But I think, yeah, I think something like, I often think a good season finale, I think, even if they're teasing for more, that things close out.
Yeah.
Things like finish.
And that's why I think, sorry to interrupt you, I think I got so frustrated with the Roxy story, because I think that's what they were trying to give us. We're like, well, this story has closed out. We found out who killed her mother. It's like, yeah, but also he was the only suspect the entire time. And it was, they asked him, did you kill her in episode 2? And he goes, nah. And it's like, oh, okay. And then turn around in episode 9 and say, did you kill her? Yeah, I did. Oh, okay. It's like, that was the most unsatisfying conclusion to a story. Now, I'm still invested in Roxy's character. I thought there was some, I loved the kind of like whatever's going on between her and Ali. It's like, oh, that's very interesting. But that was annoying. The whole bit with Bernie and like.
Yeah, no, it's almost like that could have been saved. Her connecting with Ali could have been saved for a season 2. They could have just rounded out her story and ended on a, she's now on the run.
Yes.
Oh, and maybe she's going to Ali.
Yeah.
And like, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. It's interesting though. A lot of edging. Hey, I want to talk to you about the book.
Oh, okay.
Because I looked up the book.
Yep.
And I really want to read the book now.
Same.
Do you want to know something interesting about the book?
Yeah.
The book is written from the perspective of a male writer 5,000 years from now, and it's written as history. It's written from the society is now, the whole book is apparently written as a book that's saying that from society is now women centric, like women are the main, it's a matriarchal society, women are the dominant gender, and this male writer is writing a history of how society went that way, and the whole story is set now. It's the story of the show, but it's like told as a, this is how society became the way it became.
Oh, that's so cool.
And I can see why they had to get rid of it for the show, because it's a very literary device. I was like, that's very interesting. It's really interesting. I was just like, it made me go, oh, I'd really love to read the book. I'd love to read the book and sort of get a sense of how much of the story of the book we saw in the show, how different it is. Like, did we see half of the book? Did we see how far along? Because I imagine it's quite different from the book.
But, oh, yeah, I could imagine.
How much of the book?
Is it all one book?
Yeah, it's one book, and the writer said she has no intention of making a sequel. So I'm really curious to know. And if you're listening and you've read the book, please DM us. I'm genuinely curious how it's different, because I would love to see. And it makes me go, oh, that's super interesting. Like the story of the book tells a story of society completely flipping and completely crumbling and completely shifting. And it's like, man, if this story is like one season of 5 to a complete societal collapse, that's super interesting. But Yeah, I just wonder how much of a plan there is. I'm curious.
I'd like
to know
whether the book ends like season one ends.
Mm. Or is that like half of it?
Yeah.
I'd be really curious to know how the book differs from the show.
Yeah, same.
And like what parts of the show are from the book and what parts are original, because I'd love to
know. Do you know what I hate about myself is that I'm like, I'm going to read that. I was literally just like, I'm going to fucking buy the book.
Yeah.
But then I'd just sit on my shelf. I can't imagine. I want to read it. But I don't remember the last time I picked up a book and read it, to be completely honest with you.
Yeah, no, I don't really read books.
Would have been at like the start of last year.
It'd be an interesting challenge. Maybe we could make each other read the book. We could talk about the book.
We already make each other do this.
Yeah, I know, but that's what I'm saying. Like maybe we could check in every podcast, go, have you read a chapter of the book?
Yeah, all right.
Or, yeah.
It's probably good for us. Everyone always says reading is good.
Read books. I'm currently reading like a magazine about the moon landings.
Oh, my God, what a dork.
I know, and it's like fully for kids. And yeah. I'm just like, they're like, the three men that flew to the moon.
You're a dork.
Did it under great duress. And I'm like, oh, very interesting. I am a dork. I'm a real dork.
You are a dork. What did you think of the episode?
Trying to think of everything that went down.
Well, it was all the Tatiana stuff as well with Tunde.
I thought that was really interesting, like just a continuation of that. I think her story is really the most and her sister. It's the thing that makes me want to watch a season two more than any other story. Mm. There's a complexity to, you know, there's a complexity to her.
Yeah.
Like the idea of power and like what whether she's going to, like, I think that she, like, what, like, who she's going to become and what the type of leader she's going to become. Like, I don't think she's necessarily going to be a good leader or a kind leader.
No.
And I think that's super interesting.
Oh, very, very interesting.
And I think that that's really kind of powerful. And that, like, massacre scene was really, really powerful because it really, I don't know, I think there's something just really powerful about, you know, talking about human nature and doing a story about flipping. You know, I was thinking about, sorry to bring up Star Trek, I'll bring it up very quickly. One of the worst episodes of Star Trek Next Generation, like the worst, it's in season one, is about a planet where that's really, really sexist, but the roles are reversed. Women are the dominant gender, and it is really bad, right? It's a really, really bad episode. And the cast say that. Like, the cast hate this episode. And
is it like women are the dominant gender but they all had their titties out and stuff?
No, it's just like it's hard to go, but it's just like women are the dominant gender. And then in the end, like, Will Riker has this speech where he's like, you cannot divide the genders. And it's like, oh, why is a man saying this? It's so, like, you know, it flips it but doesn't add. Yeah. Like, there's no real reason. And the thing that one of the actors said is they were like, flipping the gender imbalance is something that is, like, as old as sci-fi and it's been done a million times, and that's part of why they hated it. It was that seeing that, like, a society where women are the dominant, like, they were like, that's such a cliche, and this episode added nothing. And I look at her story and I look at this story and, like, where this show could go, and I go, this is actually the gender flip trope done in a way that's really original and really complex, like, done in a way, it's what makes me want to read the book, because it's like, it's actually, like, really murky and interesting and complex and carries, because it's a flip, carries the weight of it being the other way into it. And it's like, that's all the cool, interesting stuff. So that story I really love. And I kind of want to see where it goes.
Yeah.
The other stories I was just a little, I just kind of wished it had come to something, you know.
If it gets a season two, I'm happy. I want to know what happens.
Yeah, me too.
I would feel deeply unsatisfied if I did not get a season two of this show. But I am genuinely pleased to be watching something else right now. Like, I think 9 episodes was enough for me for now.
It's. Do you know what it is?
What's that, mate?
I want a season 2 and a season 3 and a season 4 and a season 5 if it keeps if they've got a plan.
Yes. Yes.
If they've got a plan and it's going somewhere mm-hmm. and it's going to build to something and it's going to go to the places I think it can go to, mm-hmm. I want a season 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yep.
As it stands, but I don't want more seasons if it's more of the teasing.
Yeah.
But I think they do have a plan. Well, and I kind of hope that we get more seasons.
You'd fucking hope so with how this ended. Like there was no.
It felt like writer's strike. It felt like there was yes. 2 or 3 more to go.
But like I feel like I'm just thinking now like season finales, not series finales, season finales often end with some form of cliffhanger
mm.
of what's going to happen. But it also wraps up stuff that happened in the season because seasons are often standalone things, right? Mm. Not like completely, but like there's things that like carry over through a whole series. But a season, you know, this didn't have that. At all.
No.
It did not follow the trajectory of a regular season of television.
No, like it really just sort of is like they're ending a third of the way through the story.
Yes, yes.
It has the confidence that they know they're getting a season 2.
Yeah, and that's ballsy.
And I hope they do because I want ending.
What do you think is a good season, a series of television that had a really good season finale?
Season, not series?
Yeah, I've got one.
Go.
Buffy season 3.
Wow.
They blew up the high school.
Oh.
She graduates high school and they blew up the high school.
Yeah.
And the whole, like that season was phenomenal. But that's a perfect example because there's like, they knew they were getting another season because it's fucking Buffy and she was about to go to university. But she just spent 3 years in high school and it's also such a metaphor for high school, the whole thing. Like that whole first 3 seasons is someone getting through high school and she graduates high school. And they blow up the high school.
Yeah.
And it's this very, like, it's incredible season finale of television. It's really good.
I know I've been talking about Succession a lot, but Succession is, I think, one of the best shows for season finales. All of their season finales do it perfectly where they, you know, the whole season has been building to something. It ends, it's mm-hmm. over, mm-hmm. but I want to see where they go to next. It's
yes.
like the season 3 finale.
I really have to watch this show.
Oh, yeah. Because season 3, I'm not going to give it away, but season 3 ends with like this, you know, it had been building all season to this mm. thing. There's like alliances, there's this double crossing. It ends and it's like, it's done. Like, it's like everything that the series was building, everything that the season was building to is now done.
Mm-hmm.
But what's left, it's like, I'm trying to think of how to describe it. It's like everything that the season was building to is over and now everything has settled in a new arrangement.
Mm-hmm.
I can't wait to see what the next season is like, you know what I mean? Like
yes.
new alliances, new enemies, people have changed course, things have been revealed. Everything's over. Everything we've been hoping to see is done. But now the landscape is different and it's a different place to build from.
Yes.
I think that's a good season finale is like more than a cliffhanger is like The Boys does it really well as well where it's like, okay, mm-hmm. But, you know, the one other thing I'll say about Succession is they are also really, really good. And I don't know how much planning it is. I think it's planning in problems that come up. Like there's a problem in, I can't remember if it's season 2 or season 3, right? I think in season 3 there's like a, they get in trouble. They have like a, what's the word, like a Senate estimates hearing and their company gets in trouble because of things that are like a running joke between two characters in season 1. Like,
mm.
oh, we have to delete some files or we have to shred some papers and that's in season 1 and it's like big but it's not like that important. But it, like everything that happens, nothing comes out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And that's really hard to do well.
Oh, know? Yeah, 100% it is because like, it takes planning. Like it takes a lot of really, really intricate planning.
Yeah, it would be very hard to do. And like planning of seasons that you might not make, I suppose.
Yeah.
I often wonder how much that happens in the writer's room with shows like that. Do they talk about it, or does the head writer just have in the back of their mind? Mm. Or do they go, let's just, hey, as we build this new season, what can we take from the last? I'm always curious about that.
100%.
I think there must be a bit of a picture. For those really well worked out shows, I reckon even if it's informally, they must have a bit of a picture of all five seasons
they would have
of
to.
It.
I swear to God, though, Prison Break really did only have two.
Well, a lot of, you know, I think I've said this before. Have you ever heard that thing that, like, season two is often
the worst?
Have I said this? Yes. Yeah. And it's true.
I think you're right, yeah.
It's really true that, like, because they, and Prison Break is probably the best example of that, of, like, what do you do past? I remember when Prison Break came out, I was like, how are they going to do, how are they going to, what about when they get out of prison?
Yeah. Yeah, it's fucking insane.
It's like 24 as well. The whole thing was like after 12 hours.
I kind of want to watch 24.
It's wild. It's really, because it is really like after 12 hours. I remember there was one season where a group of terrorists got their hands on an atomic bomb. Mm. And then 12 hours into the day, the atomic bomb goes off in like LA. They like drop an atomic bomb in LA.
What the fuck?
Because it's like, what do you do for like 24 episodes of serialized real-time television? So then the bomb goes off and then they're like, oh, they've got another bomb. Like, that was a show that needed a plan and didn't have a plan, and it's wild to watch. It's wild to see because the problems with a show like that become very apparent very quickly.
I love shows that their final season is their best, and they're so hard to find.
Like, look.
They really are.
I'm saying this after it's come out. It may have dropped the ball in the last two, but without a doubt, Succession is...
Are they ending it, though?
Mm-hmm. And every episode is with the confidence that they're ending it. Like, they knew they were going to end it in season four. I think that was a creative choice.
Mm-hmm.
And every single episode is like, this is the, you know, like, so good. And it's the first time I've ever seen a show like...
I really have to watch it. I've just looked it up.
I don't.
No, I'm not reading anything about it.
No spoilers.
I read The Logan Family. That's all I've read.
Yeah. Do you know what it's about broadly?
Yeah. Now I do. I reckon it's probably something to do with the Logan family is known for controlling the biggest media and entertainment company in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. But however, you know, their world changes when the father steps down from the company.
Yeah.
I would say that's probably broadly what it's about.
It's the Murdochs. It's about Rupert Murdoch and his kids, but.
They can't say the Murdochs.
They can't say the Murdochs. So Logan Roy is from Scotland. Truly, like, there'll be spoilers.
Sarah Snook is so pretty.
But be careful because there'll be spoilers. And season four is like
full. I'm literally on Google images of Sarah Snook.
She's incredible. Yeah. She's an incredible actor. She's so good in this show. They're all so good. All the actors are so good.
Yeah.
The writing is incredible. And
my partner doesn't often tell me that he finds people attractive. Like,
yeah, right.
Not that he just doesn't. And he's got like, he just doesn't. He's not. Like, not I'll see someone come on television and be like, that's a fucking babe.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't do that. But every once in a while he'll just say, and he mentioned once that he found Sarah Snook really attractive, and I can see why. Like, I've just looked, I'm like, oh, yeah, that's my partner would find her attractive. Yeah.
And she's an incredible actor.
There you go.
No, Succession is one of those shows where, and it's such a, you're so right, where it's really, really good.
Mm.
And I've loved it. Season four, this final season, who knows what the final episode is, but, like, so far.
This has become a Succession podcast.
Yeah, no, but so far, well, it's also a Prison Break podcast. Yeah. But so far, I hate the idea of saying this. Imagine if the last episode's terrible.
Oh,
but I don't think it can be. So, like, this final season has made it essential.
Yeah.
And that's so rare. Because, like, four seasons. What a time to end a big show. Like, the show's the biggest it's ever been and they've decided to end it now.
You know what? This is just, I'm just questioning whether or not I should go on this rant now.
Yeah, have a think about it. What do you want to do? You can.
Now I'm going to.
You got to now.
How I Met Your Mother,
right?
Famously has what many believe to be the worst final episode of television in history. One of them. I thought it was good.
I never watched it. I never saw the final. I watched How I Met Your Mother.
I thought thought How I Met Your Mother, it's not aged wonderfully, but I think a lot of it very funny.
I think it gets a bad rap. I think it's structurally very clever.
Very clever. And like what you were saying before, how there's things that happen in season one that they bring back in season four, which is almost just for viewers of the show. Do you know what I mean? It's not. It's for hardcore ones that would remember something like that. They did a lot of that. I quite liked the show. I thought it was very funny. Big crush on Jason Segel. Like, you know how
makes
it is.
Sense,
makes
yeah.
sense for me. But I thought it was quite funny and I thought the structure was quite funny. And I saw the last episode of the show when it aired on television. And I was like, I like that episode. I really like how they've wrapped up this show. And the world went fucking nuts about how awful it was.
Yeah, people are weird. People are weird because...
But it's such a... And I haven't changed my opinion. I honestly still think that it did good. I don't think it's the best episode of television, but I'm like... Considering how long they did this, but how did he meet their mother thing for? There's only so many conclusions they could have come to. I didn't guess where they were going. And when they did it the way they did it, I thought it was very clever.
This is where like...
Well, not very clever. It was clever.
But this is where Succession needs to be given props. Because if they had done another 2, 3, 4 seasons, they would have kind of... played out everything so that when once they were doing the finale, it would kind of be like, all right, why are you like, okay, that's why is it going down this path? It's already kind of gone down that path before. But by ending it on season four, things are happening that have never happened.
Yeah.
And I think that's usually the problem with network TV or like big long shows. I never watched Game of Thrones, but by all accounts, it's like when the show becomes about... Oh, it's not really about who takes the throne. It's about the fighting for it. Then who cares who takes the throne? And people think that the ending is about that, but then it's not really about that.
Yeah.
I'm really psyched. I know I said last week I'm like 2 or 3 episodes away from finishing
Star Trek.
And I have heard... This final season has been mixed. The best seasons were 3 and 4, but I've heard it has one of the best season finales of any.
Oh, how exciting!
It's in a lot of lists as best finales.
Great,
because it's 7 seasons. It's hundreds of episodes. Like, rare that it has a good a show like that has a good ending, but this one apparently has a really good one. So I'm really excited for that.
Oh, that's so nice. Did you ever watch MASH?
No. Oh, I did watch MASH. Yes. I thought you said JAG. And I watched JAG as well.
Did you ever watch JAG?
How good was the JAG guy?
I never watched JAG.
You know the JAG guy also did NCIS?
No, I didn't know that.
And you know JAG?
Was JAG Australian?
No, JAG was the about the Navy Corps.
I always get JAG and Water Rats mixed up.
Similar. That was about Navy as well, wasn't
it? Well, Water Rats, here's a fun fact. One of the main actors in Water Rats was my mum's first kiss.
Oh, that's so funny.
Yeah. She went over to his house and he had a new rabbit and she asked to hold his rabbit. And he said, I'll let you hold my rabbit for a kiss. They were both young, very young.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And she kissed him.
That's
so
funny.
She could hold his rabbit.
That's so funny. Mm. No, JAG was a court show. It was kind of like the practice.
Mm.
But it was about the Navy courts because they have their own court system.
Oh, whoa.
So if something happens, because things happen internationally and stuff like so it was like a military, it was like a Navy guy and he would do it, but it was a court show. And then NCIS, do you know what NCIS is about?
Yeah.
It's like CSI.
Yes.
Except it's the Navy CSI.
Is that what NCIS is?
It's literally Navy. It's like if it happens for the Navy. There is a guy in Hollywood that has twice now gone into...
He's got some real fucking... He's got some real jonesing for the Navy.
He loves the Navy, but more than that, he has gone in twice. He has gone into a pitching room. He sat down at a table with executives.
Pitched the same thing.
He's gone, you know that show that everyone loves at the moment? First he said The Practice, then he said CSI, and then he's gone, that, but Navy. And twice, I'm saying twice, that has succeeded. Who knows how many times he pitched it? What other Navy versions of shows did he pitch?
What's remarkable? trouble is that he got it twice.
Because my thing is that he got...
And there was no one that went, he's done this before.
because I believe with every fibre of my being that when X-Files was big, he went in and he said, Navy X-Files. And when 90210 was big, he was like, Navy school. It's all the teens training for Navy. Hey, and man. When I think he has pitched every single show,
my mum,
and twice he pulled it off.
My mum used to always say to me, and she still does, everyone has one story. Like you can always tell a person like their art, like by their art. Like everyone has one story to tell. And I'm always like, that's not true. But then I hear stuff like this, I'm like, maybe she's onto something. He just wants his legacy to be Navy dramas.
But it's so funny because like Navy CSI is so weird and it's so loosely tangentially Navy based.
But you could take anything and make it CSI, bakery CSI.
Yeah, but he does Navy CSI.
Yeah, you could do landscape gardening CSI.
It's true.
You could honestly take any pharmacy CSI. That's one.
That is true. Yeah. Pharmacy CSI.
Yeah. Think of a profession that you could then attach to CSI.
Any of the armed forces.
Yeah. Yeah.
My thing is, what's a thing you could Navy-fy?
Like put in the
what,
Navy.
What are big shows you could, what are other shows he may have pitched?
MasterChef Navy.
MasterChef Navy. He definitely pitched a Prison Break Navy.
Yeah.
Oh, no, without a doubt,
yeah.
Navy Hospital.
Oh, absolutely.
So, like, and I reckon he's pitched it multiple times. So yeah. When Grey's Anatomy was big, he pitched Navy Hospital.
But also, like, something light and, like, you know, like in like an Ally McBeal Navy.
Because people would have been like... Yeah, Lady Navy.
Yeah.
Yeah, funny.
One Tree Hill Navy.
And then he like went into when HBO started blowing up, he went in and pitched Navy The Wire.
Sex and the City Navy.
Oh, good times.
Hey, Zach, do you have any final thoughts on the final episode?
I feel like we didn't embrace the finality of this episode enough, hey?
No.
But it's fitting, apropos.
Yeah, true. But also, I've just finished watching it. Like, I finished watching it today, and I am genuinely pleased to be taking a breather from it. I think we actually did, because there isn't a hell of a lot to discuss. Yeah,
no, it kind of just was like...
Yeah, it was arguably the most... unwrapped up season finale I've ever seen.
Truly.
Truly. There was like, honestly, the only story that kind of semi got a bit of a wrap up was Roxy and her dad. And it was very unsatisfying. I'm not taking away from the show being good. The show is good. And I think people should watch it. I really do.
Yeah.
I think it's such a fascinating story. I've never seen a show done like this before. There are the imagery in this show, this entire season, some of it is so powerful. Like I think I'll always remember the scene where the guns start being shot and everyone ducks except for the mother.
Mm.
And she's saying to her son, like, stop what you're doing. Like, that's an incredibly powerful image. I always remember that. Some of John Leguizamo's beautiful 21st century work. Really, really good stuff. Seeing Tony and John together, there are things about this show I'll take with me for life, but I need a break because it's just a hell of a lot. To leave and then also expect us to be able to hold on to for 18 months until they release season two.
It's true.
You know what I mean?
If
they release a season two.
I really hope this gets a season two.
Yeah, same.
I really, really do.
And I'll be ready to watch it when it comes out, but I just need a break.
Yeah, because I feel like... Do you know what I'd love to know?
Tell me, mate.
I'd love for it to get... as many seasons as it needs. I'd love for it to be like, I hope there's a meeting happening right now where Amazon has sat them down and said, how many seasons do you need? And they've said, we need two more. And I hope they go, okay, you've got two more seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Go for it. That's what I would pray. And they go and they wrap it up and do it right.
No, I was about to say, should the Leguistamo rating be based on the season or this episode?
It's got
to
be this episode.
It's got to be this episode, and in which case I'm giving it
What happened this episode?
He didn't do a hell of a...
He got a little Eskimo kiss from that journalist.
Oh, my God. We didn't even talk about that. He's going to fuck a journalist.
Is he?
Well, yeah.
What a cliffhanger.
That actual scene. No, that's final thought. So the husband, John Leguizamo's character, starts...
We should have talked about this.
100%. Starts doing flirty with...
Instead
just,
of Jack.
Starts doing flirty with a fucking journalist.
Who's doing a piece on his wife.
On his wife. And she, obviously she's going to play him. Like, I could just see that she's going to play him. But there's this scene where she goes over to him at the elevators, gives him her room key and says, I'm in this room. Gives him a little Eskimo kiss and walks off. And then it's a shot of him looking off after her. So it's just the shot of him, his body, probably for...
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Around about 10 seconds. Some of the most phenomenal not speaking acting I've ever seen in my life of the thought process. Meanwhile, behind him is some of the worst extras drunk acting I've ever seen.
I didn't even pick up on that.
It was this incredible juxtaposition of John Leguizamo at the lifts. I wrote this down to talk about. Now we're fucking rushing it at the end. But John Leguizamo at the lifts.
No rush.
John Leguizamo at the lifts thinking, am I really going to fuck this journalist? I've been given this opportunity. I haven't felt this kind of freedom in a really long time, I suppose. Freedom's a weighty word in this sense, but... and he's got all these, and it's this incredible actor having this incredible moment, and these two drunk extras need to come past and bump him because then he shows this little bit of butch rage where he like pushes them and stuff, right? And it is the extras walk past, and bless them, like they've got, but it's bad drunk acting. It's honestly like they stumble off behind him and they're like stumbling around, and it's just like not very good drunk acting. I feel awful saying that because the extras might listen to this.
They might.
And in which case, fucking cool that you got the show.
And I got to say, if you're listening, I've like fucked up opportunities because I'm bad at drunk acting.
Drunk acting's so hard.
I'm bad at drunk acting.
Drunk acting is really hard.
I've never done it good. I've had to do it a few times. I've never pulled it off.
Some of the best drunk acting I've ever seen was Whoopi Goldberg directing a drag queen in RuPaul's Drag Race, How to Be Drunk. It was really interesting.
She said to keep it together, yeah.
Yeah, she's like, when you're drunk, it's not, like from what I can remember, I might misquote, but she's like, you're not falling around. It's a constant, I'm not going to fall.
Fuck Whoopi Goldberg's good at
acting. She's so good. And then she's just like, you ain't going nowhere. She's like, you're just standing there, but everything's slightly slower because you're not falling.
Yeah.
And it was just really great. It was like, oh, wow, that's funny. Very good acting. Anyway, if he fucks this journalist, I can't handle his character doing that.
Well, I mean, for me, right, he gets the offer to fuck the journalist and then he goes to the debate?
Yeah.
Is that the timeline or is that like the next day?
The next day, I think. I don't think he went to fuck the journalist. I think being knocked by these drunk people and then he pushes them and goes, fucking don't come at me, man. And it's this real like, whoa, what the fuck? And then it ends and he goes upstairs. It's like it's taken him out of his haze for a little bit. But if the journalist comes back and he fucks the journalist, I have a feeling that that will then be released to the press and it'll all come out that Margot's husband... Although Margot's fucked herself anyway because she got the power and she nearly killed her opposition.
She zapped him.
Yeah. That was full on. Anyway, I really hope he doesn't fuck the journalist, but also I kind of do because it would make for good television, but I'm so invested in him and Toni Collette, you know? And I think if he fucks the journalist, she won't be happy.
It should have ended with the zap.
Yeah, man.
That should have been the end of the episode and the end of the season.
Yeah.
Wrap everything else up and then have a debate and then she zaps him. Oh, what's going to happen?
Yep. Anyway, Leguizamo is based on this. I'm going to give it four. Four.
Yeah.
Based on that scene alone.
Yeah, where he's like, fuck you, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to give it four.
Yeah.
And four.
Yeah, we don't do quarter stars here at Leguizamarama.
No, we do quarter chicken and chips.
Yeah, we yum yum.
Well, we don't do that either.
I don't do that either, mate. But I eat the chips. What we're saying is here at Leguizamarama, we eat chips.
Here at Leguizamarama, we love some chippies.
Hey, Mish. Thanks so much for joining me
on Zach.
Zach's Leguizamarama.
Hey.
Yeah.
I love you, man.
I love you too, bro.
What's Tom taking us away with?
Your choice.
Oh, fuck.
Leguizamarama theme.
No, we've done that before.
With Tom doing an impression of John Leguizamo as Tybalt.
We haven't even done a Tybalt. I don't even know if he knows. He would know who Tybalt is.
Peace. I hate the word. He knows it.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, do that.
Just have a few goes at peace. I hate the word, Tom.
Yeah.
All right, Mish, thanks so much.
Thank you, Zach. Thanks for having me on your podcast.
What?
Peace. I hate the word.
I got one leg, you're gonna fuck it a chicken. Gonna put a little cornstarch on my werewolf, man. Luigi Mario.